Second Timothy chapter 2. That's right after 1 Timothy, just before 3 Timothy.
They got a 3 Timothy now?
Yeah.
I thought you were supposed to add to the Bible.
See what I have to put up with all the time? I mean, it's just unbelievable. It'd be 45 in June. 45 in June. Can't believe I lived with the same woman that long. I'm glad she's gone. Or I'd have heard about it all afternoon. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse number 1, it says, "There, thou therefore, my servant, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I want to read verse 2 one more time because that's my text verse for this morning. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many faithful witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that we might get something out of this message that we can use for our own lives. I want to be a help to the people today, and I just pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me to them, and that we can get something from this today, that we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, in the world that we live in today, I feel that there is a word that is getting to be less and less used all the time. Or the meaning is being changed. And that word is commitment. Commitment. You know, in the 1960s, when people said that they would do something for someone, they usually followed through with it. They were committed to do what they said that they would do. But you know, as time has went on, it seems like we're getting less and less commitment. You know, it used to be a time when you would stand up and you'd have a husband and a young man and a young woman getting married, and they would make their vows and they would make a commitment to one another, and that was going to be for life.
Amen.
And anymore, it doesn't seem that it's that way. But in the day and age that we live in today, people have not the commitment that they used to years ago. We live in and through a wayward society. If we don't like what we have, we can throw it away. You know, Brother Mike and I were talking yesterday a little bit about this same thing. And you know when I think the throwaway society came into being? Pampers. Remember Pampers? You know, I can remember, believe it or not, when Pampers came in. I thought to myself, wow, man, this is great. We're just starting to have kids, and I'm thinking, man, this is fantastic. We don't have to have that diaper pail anymore. Didn't you love the diaper pail? You know, huh? How many of you ever used a diaper pail? You know, I'll tell you what, I don't know why it was. I don't know if it was the weight of it or what it was, but I was the one who always had to take and empty the diaper pail. And, oh, I hated that. But, you know, you could always tell if you drove around the neighborhood who had the newborns, because they had diapers hanging out on the line all the time. And but, you know, I really believe that our throwaway society started with things like that. I really do. And I believe that it is continued on ever since. You know, people today are no longer committed to their jobs. You know, people today are no longer committed to the work that they were. I can remember when I was growing up, when a person would get out of high school, they would go to work at a job, and they were there probably for the rest of their life. Now, in the area that we were, General Motors had a big plant down in Janesville, and man, I'll tell you what, the kids, as soon as they got out of high school, they'd get a job on the assembly line, and they were there all their life. They never left. They stayed right there and everything else. But right now, there was a study done not too awful long ago. The average person goes through between 10 and 15 jobs in a lifetime right now. 10 to 15 jobs a high school senior, when they graduate from high school, can plan on and being employed within between 10 and 15 different employers. Not only that, but you know, people today aren't even committed to their children. Have you ever noticed that? We have a throwaway child society. You know, I don't know how many people over the last 20 years that have come into the church and wanted to know if I would take their children. They wanted me to raise their children because they were tired of raising them. They didn't want them anymore. I said to them, why did you have them in the beginning? Because I wanted a baby. Well, big deal, they grow up. You know, think a little bit. You know, but, you know, people aren't committed to raising their children anymore. They don't want the responsibility of having to raise a family. You know, children aren't committed to their parents. You know, how many kids do we have today that don't love their mom and dad? I mean, it's amazing of how many teenagers and young adults we have that don't want to have anything to do whatsoever with their parents. And, you know, in the society we live in today, people aren't committed to their spouses anymore either, are they? You know, we live in a throwaway society. You know, if I don't like what's going on, I can always go to someone else. I can get rid of what I have and go to someone else. Vows don't mean anything to anybody. And you know what? We're not committed to our churches anymore either. You know, our church should be jam-packed on every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. But people aren't committed to church. Well, if they're not committed to church, guess what? They're not committed to God either. They're not committed to God like they used to be. You know, I can remember growing up, you know, how many of you remember Blue Sundays? You know, where nothing was open? You know, I can remember, I remember back in January 30th, 1968, our house burned down, and it was on a Saturday night, and, I mean, wiped the whole thing off. We had nothing, not a thing. And I can remember that Sunday morning, there was a knock on the door. It was a deacon chairman from our church, and he had his van. He says, come on. And we got in the van. We drove to Madison, and we went to J.C. Penney's. 8 o'clock in the morning, went to J.C. Penney's. The whole place is locked up. There was not a car on any streets in Madison, Wisconsin at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, other than them going to church. And we pulled up by J.C. Penney's, and we got out. We went up to the door, and this guy opened the door up, opened up J.C. Penney's for us, and they gave us all brand new clothes. And I'll never forget that. But we're the only ones shopping. You know, how many times you go in the store, you're the only one shopping. You know what I mean? And but I can remember nothing was ever open on Sundays. Nothing. You know, my dad, we had a grocery store, and we were always closed on Sundays. But, you know, the way we live today, we live in an altogether different society than what it was back in the 1960s and the 1950s. You know, I want to show you three things from the Bible today that I believe that we need to be committed. Three things is all I want to show you today. And the first thing is this, is we need to commit our souls to God. We need to commit our souls. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You know, we need to commit our souls to the Lord. You know, we need to make sure that we're saved. Yep. You know, if you're here today and you're not 100% sure where you would spend eternity if something would happen to you, you need to make sure today. You know, we can't commit something to God if He doesn't know who we are. You know, people say, well, God knows everybody. Yeah, but He does. But are you a child of His? You know, if we're not saved, we're not a child of His.
Right.
So we can't commit our ways to Him for His work. The first thing in committing our souls, we need to understand that we're all sinners. You know, there's not one of us in here, including me, who's not a sinner. After all, the Bible says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us, not one of us in this room, have not done something wrong in our lives. We need to understand there's a penalty for our sin. And that's a life separated from God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, God put a death penalty on sin. He can't look at sin. And there is separation between God and sin. We need to understand that Jesus came and paid our sin debt that we owed. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then we need to accept Him as Lord and Savior of our life. "For God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, we need to acknowledge that we're sinners and that we can't save ourselves. And we need to believe that Jesus died for us on that cross, and we need to accept Him as our Lord and Savior. I believe that most everybody here today has probably asked the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I hope that you will spiritually commit to Him. You know, secondly, by committing our soul to the Lord, we're telling Him that we will do what He has for us to do. You know, I truly believe that everyone who is saved, who is born again, blood washed, looking forward to the blessed hope and glory appearing in the Lord Jesus Christ, has been called by God to do something. You know, maybe a prayer warrior, maybe working in the church, maybe working in the school, maybe working in the food bank. But God has called every one of us to take and do something. In Ephesians 4:11 it says, "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers." It's interesting in that He does not say He gave everybody the same thing. Did you notice that? He gave some preachers, some teachers, some evangelists, some prophets, and so on. But He did not give everyone the same thing to do. And that's why I believe that each and every one of us are called to do something different for the Lord. You know, I look at Melanie. She's a teacher. Are you? Oh, yeah. She's a teacher. And she does a good job at it. Why? Because God called her to do that. I look at Brother Mike. He's a, He teaches at college. And listen, you know, God has called people to do different things in the church. Not all of us are called to clean, to teach, to do whatever. You know, but God has called each of us collectively to keep the church running. Amen. And that's why it's so important for us to know what our calling is for God to use it. You know, there's more in life than just to please each other. We need to please the Lord in everything that we do and say. You know, we need to commit ourselves, body, soul, and spirit to the Lord. We need to be committed to God in all the things that we do. You know, once we've committed to God and we say, you know what, I'm going to do this, we need to follow through with it. We need to take and follow through with what we've told God that we would do. You know, but not only are we to commit our spirits to Him, the second thing is this: we need to commit our ways to the Lord. In Psalms 37:5 it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." You know, we are to give things over to the Lord. You know, each of us, I know I do, and that's why I said each of us, but it means me too. But I think most of us feel that we can do a lot of things ourselves. We don't need help to do it. You know, I can do this because my mind says I can do it. You know, how many of you are older now today than what you were yesterday? You know what I found as I get older is this: is the older I get, my mind says, yeah, you can do it. But my body says, no, you can't. Have you ever noticed that? Huh? I was out in the shop the other day and I said, man, I can do this. And I'm going, no, I can't bend over. And I mean, you know, my mind says, yeah, you can do it. You know how to do it. You know, you have the logic to do it. You have the intelligence to do it. But your body is in such a shape that it just won't allow you to do it anymore. And you know, I think that's the problem a lot of us have, is that we say, okay, you know what, I can do this, then maybe we should take it and ask for help to help us do it. You know, we live in a self-sufficient society. You know, we try to handle every problem our own way. I call it the Burger King mentality. You know, we want it our way and we want it now. You know what I mean? And that's the way it is, isn't it? We, you know, I saw a post that Brother Dana had on Facebook the other day about his wife doing the landscaping around the house. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why didn't he call? He should have called. I could have got Jacob over there. He could have helped, you know. Or Abed, or you know what I mean? But you know, that's the way we are, isn't it? We want to do everything ourselves. And we're in a self-sufficient society. You know, we are to commit our ways, though, to the Lord. We are to give Him everything that we have. You know, our time needs to be turned over to God. Did you know that? Our time needs to be turned over to God. You know, there's not one of us in this town, in this room right now that does not have 24 hours in a day. Right? 24 hours a day. We've got 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. We live approximately 7 years. So all of us live about the same amount of time. All of us have the same amount of time. What do we do with our time? How do we use our time? If God said to you, are you tithing your time, would you be giving 10% of your time to the Lord every week? Ooh. Man. That's something. Yeah, okay, let's look at it this way. Are you giving, of your 40-hour work week, are you giving 10% of your time? You know, I got to thinking about that this week, and I'm thinking, man alive, how much time do we actually spend giving to the Lord? How much time do we use that we waste many times? Are we giving any of that back to God? You know, what do we use our time for? You know, what is so important that we cannot give God at least an hour a day in prayer or reading our Bible? But what about our talents? Have you turned your talents over to Him? You say, well, I don't have any talents. Oh, everybody's got talents. You know, I don't know if any of you went on our website lately. You need to go on the website, FormsBaptistChurch.com. Dana has just been working feverishly over that website. I mean, it is one of the best websites. I've had more comment on our website in the last year than any website we've ever had. And he has done such a good job. Why? Because he's got a talent to do it. And he's using his talent for the honor and glory of God. Amen. I mean, that's what we need to do. You know, God's given us all talent. He's given every one of us in this room something that we can use. And we need to take and find out what it is and use it for His honor and His glory. You know, how many of you can take and carry a tune better than I can? A lot of you, believe me. You know, I mean, we need special music in church. I know there's people in here that could teach Sunday school classes. We need Sunday school teachers. We need a lot of things in this church. And there's a lot of people in this church that have talent. You need to turn your talents over to the Lord. What about your treasures? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also. You know, we need to turn our treasures over to the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that are in a lot of financial bad financial shape right now because they've not turned their treasures over to the Lord. You know, there are even more who are having problems because they don't give back to God what they owe Him. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, bah, I can't figure out why. You know, I used to give so much to the church, but he said, I can't afford it anymore. I said, what do you mean you can't afford it? Well, I used to give such and such to the church. He says, I just can't afford it anymore. I said, you know why you can't afford it? Why? Because you're not doing it. Do it and find out what God's going to do.
Amen.
You know, I think of the Israelites. You know, I'll tell you what, if there was ever a giving people, it was the Israelites. How would you like to give them 30% of your total increase for the year back to God every year? That's what they had to do. According to the law, they had to give 10% to the Levites, they had to give 10% for the temple, and they had to give 10% for the poor. 30%. 30% of everything they made the previous year, they had to give back to God. They lived on 70%. And do you know that the Jewish people were the richest people to ever live upon the face of the earth? Why? Because they gave back to God and God gave them back. Pretty easy. You give to God and God gives you that. There's a guy that I knew, his name was Dr. Wendell Anderson. Many of you may have heard of Heil Anderson College. He was one of the co-founders of Heil Anderson College. Dr. Anderson was a multi-millionaire. He was in coal mining almost all of his life, and his dad was before him. And I listened to him speak one time, and this is what he said. He says, all we are is a conduit for God. That's all we are, is a conduit. He says, if you think of a conduit coming down from heaven, and God's putting in the money in the top, and it's coming out the bottom, we're to take and give all that money back out. We're to take and spread that money out wherever. And he says, I have never yet, ever, been able to give away as much money as what God's given to me. Ever. And he says, what happens so many times is this. God has this big conduit in heaven. He's shoveling all his money in there, and it's coming out, and the hole up in heaven's this big around, and the hole that we're taking the money out is about this big here, and it's all getting jammed up in there, and we don't ever get the blessing that God has for us. Pretty easy. You know, God wants us to take and give back what He gives us. You know, not only that, but what about our testimonies? We need to take and turn our testimonies over to the Lord. You know, you may say, well, how can I commit my testimony to the Lord? In the way we live our lives. You know, if we commit our testimony to the Lord, we're going to try to live our lives above a reproach. You know, what kind of a testimony do you have in the community? What kind of testimony do you have to your children? What kind of testimony do you have for those that you come in contact with? If we're committed, our testimonies are going to be good to the Lord. We're going to have a good testimony. People are going to see God in us. Isn't that what we're supposed to have? Is a testimony that when somebody walks up to you and they go, wow, you must be a Christian. You know, you're not like everybody else. You know, I love walking into stores and stuff like that and having my either Florence Baptist Academy shirt on or food bank shirt or whatever. They look at you and go, oh, you go to that church over in Florence that has the food bank. Yeah? You know, well, you must be a Christian. You know, listen, we are perceived by people the way we act, the way we dress, the way we talk. We have to have a good testimony with our every action. If we would commit our testimony to the Lord, we would want to live Christ-like. You know, that's the problem today, is people don't want to live Christ-like. They want to live like the rest of the world. They want to fit in. We're a peculiar people, aren't we? We're to be separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, we are to be completely separate from this dirty, rotten, sinful world. We need to trust Him for everything in our life. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He's going to direct your paths, right? You know, don't you try driving the car, let Him do it, amen? You know, there's a sign, God is my co-pilot. God isn't my co-pilot, He's my pilot. I'd rather have Him drive than me. Because I crashed an airplane. I don't want to crash another one. And, you know, so I'll let Him fly, and I'll just sit back and let it go. You know, I'll tell you what, so many times, though, We don't feel our testimony is that important. Well, I beg to differ with you. You know, we have an awful lot of teenagers in our society today that are trying to find people that they can pattern their lives after. They want someone who they can look at and say, you know what, I want to be like them. I want my life to mimic what they have. I remember years ago we used to have I used to always wear white shirts. Always wore white shirt. White shirt, tie, and I always carried a track in my pocket, and I had a 3x5 card in there at the pen. And, you know, as we had the school going, like, all of a sudden, here's all these little guys walking around with white shirts on, ties, 3x5 card. They come up to me, Pastor, have you got them cards? I said, yeah. So I give them a 3x5 card, and they stick it in their pocket. They go off the track rack, grab a track, put it in their pocket. Why? Because they wanted to be like Pastor. They wanted to take and dress like Pastor. They wanted to talk like Pastor. They wanted to be like Pastor. Why? Because they saw my testimony. They saw there was something different about me than what they saw in most everybody else. You know, that's what we need. We need our testimony to be turned over to God so that God can take and use us for His honor and His glory. The third thing is this. We are to commit our works to Him. We are to commit our works, not only our soul, and we're to take and commit our works to Him. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Think about that for just a minute. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts, your very thoughts, shall be established. You know, to commit our work unto the Lord means that we need to turn everything over to the Lord. Everything. You know, the things we do, we are to commit to the Lord. You know, our marriages need to be committed to the Lord. If more people would commit their marriages to the Lord, I believe that we'd have a whole lot lower divorce rate. Do you know the largest divorce rate right now in America is among evangelical Christians? Do you know why? Because nobody else is getting married. Nobody else is getting married. They're just shacking up. They're just living together. They don't feel that marriage is honorable. You know, I am and always have been against separate everything. You know, I believe that when a wife and a husband get married, everything should be together.
Amen.
If you ever went through my, you guys did. If you went through my marriage counseling, it's a 4-week marriage counseling before I'll marry you. I won't marry you, but whoever you're going to marry, that, you know, anyway. I was in Walmart one day, and this lady came up to me, and she goes, to this other girl, this other lady, she goes, he married us. Or no, he married me. That's what it was. He married me. And she looked at me and she goes, are you her husband? I said, no. I married her to her husband. Anyway, but, you know, if you take any think of that, I am totally against separate everything. I'm against separate checking accounts. I'm a separate vacation, separate everything.
Yeah,
I feel that when a husband and a wife get together, they should be one. Everything should be one. You know, I just got a phone talk to my daughter here a little while ago, and she goes, Dad, she said, this summer, if you guys come out, she says, maybe we'll meet you halfway and meet you in Texas, and you and Scott can go hog hunting, and Mom and I will take and we'll go shopping. I said, how about if you and Mom go hog hunting and me and Scott go shopping? Because I said, there's a lot of gun stores around Texas. Anyway, she said, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. But anyway, but listen, my wife and I, believe it or not, we have never, ever, 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 ever went on separate vacations. Ever. If we went deer hunting in Wisconsin, she went along. She cooked. You know, I mean, you know, why? I might as well take her along. She can't shoot a gun very well. But, you know, but yeah, the funny part about that is this. We were out deer hunting, and she was in the in the trailer cooking, and she could hear something outside. And she looked out the window, and here was a buck standing well, from here to the wall. She went in, grabbed the 12-gauge shotgun, went out there, boom! We heard the shot. We couldn't figure out what went on. We thought maybe she shot herself. Went out there, and here's this six-point buck laying within 30 feet of the front door, and we never saw a deer all day. You know, so I can't say that, you know, she's that bad of a shot. But anyway, and none of us saw another deer the rest of the year. That was the whole thing of it. But you know, we never went on separate vacations. We always went together. You know, when we make a major purchase, you know, we talk to each other about it to make sure it's something that we need. If it isn't anything we need, then I buy it. No. But we don't make major decisions without each other. You know why? Because it's a corporate deal. When we stood and we made our vows, we said that it was for death do us part. Not until we have a little bit of problems or one of us is sick or something else. You know, and that's the problem today is people are not committed. They've not committed their works to the Lord. They've not committed how much work it takes to be married. It takes work. I know Mr. and Mrs. Holcomb, they've never had any problems, have you? Huh?
Only once.
Okay, all right. You know, that's the thing. You know, it takes work to be married. Amen. You know, our children need to commit, we got to commit our children to the Lord. And believe me, children, if there's not work there, I mean, you look at Jacob, I mean, that's a work in progress, will be forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And but I'll tell you what, we need to train our children the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. You know, the thing about that verse is this, there's no age limit on it. Have you noticed that? Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
What's the age? There is none. There is none. There is no age there. That means that God says, you know, it may be 18 years old, it may be 28, it may be 38, 40, it may be sometime in your senior years, but someday you're going to come back to the Lord, I guarantee it, if you've been trained that way. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and they should be treated that way. You know, we need to work hard at trying to get our kids saved. We need to work hard at trying to get our kids to get into church and working for the Lord. We need to work hard at trying to raise them the way God wants them to be raised. You know, our labor needs to be committed to the Lord. You know, whatever job that we have committed to the Lord, we need to do it with all of our might. You know, how good of an employer are you or were you when you were working? You know, how committed are you to the labor that God has put you in? If you tell the preacher, okay, I'm going to be there at such and such time, or I'm going to do this, do you show up? You know, it used to be that when people said, well, you know what, I'm going to be there, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to get this, and you know it was done. Now I go, I wonder if I should go check or not. You know what I mean? What we need to realize is that when we commit our labor to the Lord, we need to say, well, you know what, I'm going to get it done. I want to get it done now. I want to get it over with. You know, when you tell someone that you're going to help them, are you there or are you hoping that they might forget about it? And say, oh, you know what, I forgot all about that. You know, how committed are you to your labor of love with the Lord? You know, all of us should be committed to doing as much as we possibly can for the honor and glory of God. You know, well, now this is a bad part. This is a bad one. I know I'm going to be stepping on some toes. How many of you wore steel-toed shoes today, other than me? What about our entertainment? How committed are you and your entertainment to the Lord? Oh, man. You know, When you're on the internet and you go on to some sites that you probably shouldn't be on, you know, are you bringing honor and glory to the God through that? What about your television watching? What shows do you watch on TV? You go, oh, preacher, that's okay. Hey, don't worry about it. I just watched the lower rated ones. Does that mean G or R? You know, what kind of entertainment do you watch? You know, what do you watch on television? What do you watch on sports shows and things like that? You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't even like watching TV, not necessarily because of the shows, because of the commercials. The commercials are worse than the shows. You know, how many of you have ever heard of a channel that's called PureFlex? It's a it's all Christian, or it's all clean movies. We watch it a lot. And you can get almost every Christian movie on there you want. And we watched one yesterday afternoon with Jacob. It was really, really good. What was the name of that? Remember?
No.
Oh, okay. But it was a good one. I even cried. So, I mean, if I cry, it's a good movie. But
I would recommend God's Not Dead 2.
Huh?
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I highly agree. God's Not Dead 2.
Yeah.
Really good.
Which one?
God's Not Dead.
Oh, yeah. God's Not Dead 2. Oh, yeah. I watched both of them.
Yeah.
They're both good. But you know, if you're taking me to think about it, you know, on Friday and Saturday nights, would you rather be clubbing, or would you rather be home getting a good night's sleep so you can come to church on Sunday morning?
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you what, there's an awful lot of people today that figure, well, you know what, my weekends are mine, and I shouldn't have to spend an hour in church listening to some preacher stand up there holler and shout and yell and scream. You know, but where do you go on your vacations? Do you go to church while you're on vacation? Yeah, I'll tell you what, this couple here, I have to give them a lot of credit. I mean, where are they? They're here in church. Amen? You know, this isn't their home church, but yet they're here. And I'll tell you what, that to me says volumes about their testimony. It does. You know, whenever my wife and I are gone, the first thing we look for is a church. The first thing, doesn't matter what town we're in, where we're going or anything else, first thing we look for is a church. We want to make sure there's a church there that we can go to on Sunday morning. One year we were on our way back out here from Wisconsin, and we were in Arkansas, and the car broke down. And we knew nobody in this town. We made it to a motel, and I looked up in the phone book for a church and found an independent Baptist church and called this guy, and he was a black preacher, and he says, told him who I was and what had happened. He says, I'll be right over. He came over to the motel, picked us up, took us out for dinner, and took us to the church, showed us where the church was and this and that. And he says, where's your car? And I told him, and he says, okay. And he made a phone call, and by the time we got back to the motel, here was a wrecker picking up our car. And I said, where are they going in my car? He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I said, okay. He says, we'll pick you up for church in the morning. He says, plan on preaching. I said, okay. So, okay, now this is a pretty good-sized black church. I had never been in a black church before, ever. You know, I had no idea what to expect or anything else. And so we get into the church, and I get up and I start preaching. And I was just going to present the work, you know, that we were starting out here. And, I mean, everybody's up hollering, shouting amen and everything else, you know what I mean? And, I mean, I went on for an hour and a half. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I took all this guy's time, you know what I mean? And so he gets up, and they did another song service, and he got up and he preached for 2 hours. I mean, we were in church for 5 hours. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. And he says, now you're going to be back again tonight, aren't you? I said, yeah, I don't have a car. He goes, oh, no, your car's out in the parking lot, it's all fixed. I said, what? He says, yeah, he says, the guy I called yesterday, he says, one of my deacons, he owns a car repair shop down here. He says, they worked on that car all night last night, and they got it running for you. Thing ran like a brand new car. I mean, it was unbelievable. And, but you know what? Hey, that's how God takes care of things if we will commit our work to Him. If we commit our labor to Him. You know, if we will take and do what God wants us to do for His honor, He's going to take care of everything. You know, all the things that we do need to be committed to the Lord. You know, if we would just commit our works and everything that our hands can do to the Lord, you know, we would have a whole lot better life. We really would. There's not one of us in here that wouldn't have a happier lifestyle if we would commit everything that we have to the Lord. You know, if you'll commit to the Lord your way, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. The Lord's going to take care of all your need. After all, He says that He's going to take care of our need, one need at a time. Not all of them collectively, but one need at a time. You know, our works, He will establish our thoughts. He will keep our thoughts on Him. And if we will commit our souls, if we will make sure that we have spiritual fulfillment all the days of our life. You know, there's no greater joy than to know you're doing what God wants you to do. And you're in His perfect will. You know, people many times will say, well, you know, how can you do what you do all the time? You know, why is it, you know, because I'm in God's will. I'm in God's will. And as long as I'm in God's will, He'll take care of everything else. You know, I was in my doctor's will all week and I've been... I hate being on medicine. I hate medicine in the worst way. And but I'm just now starting to come off a little bit, so... You know, but we need to realize is our commitment is so very important. Where's your commitment today? Where is your commitment with the Lord today? Are you committed to Him in everything that you do? Are you committed to your spouse? Are you committed to your children? Are you committed to your job? Are you committed to the church? Are you committed to God? I'm going to finish tonight with the same verse that we started, 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Wow. We need to be able to commit what we know to others so that they can teach others, so that they can teach others, so that they can teach others. And you know what? If we do that, our commitment to what God has done for us is going to be that much more precious. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.